This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 74. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is my heroic co-host, Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com. What's up, Jimmy?
Oh, thank you for the nice intro, Kev. What's up with you, buddy? How's everything?
Nothing. It's good. I was hoping you saw Beowulf, but I haven't seen it, so I thought you might have.
Saw what movie?
Beowulf.
No. I really have no interest in Beowulf. I'll probably end up seeing it, though. Like, I'll probably see it, but I don't have any interest in it as of right now. I mean, I saw American Gangster twice the first 2 weeks it came out.
Wow.
Pretty much loved that, yeah. So
I still haven't seen that. I'll have to check it out.
I love it. That was cool. Did anybody listen in here? Can they talk in right now, dude?
The live listeners?
Yes.
If they want to call in and talk to us, they have to message me or email me, and I will give them the phone number to call in and talk to us.
Nice. So, yeah, guys, please call in, ask questions, so I don't have to just talk to Kevin. Let's make this interactive. Do you have questions? What are we going to talk about today?
We have a whole outline for the show. I don't know if you've seen it.
I didn't really open it. Yeah, didn't open that one. Yeah, nope.
Yep, we have.
Just deleted that email real quick. Sorry about that, everybody.
Quite an extensive outline that we have. Actually, while you go do that, I'm going to blast through some quick FitCast topics. First off, Scott Abel, huge success last week. You got a great reaction from you guys out there in the audience, and I really am sorry that we had a short time with Scott, but I had to get going and get that drive out of the way. But we will have Scott on within the next month. We will have him back on. We'll have a full-fledged interview. Even if you want right now, start sending in your questions to questions@thefitcast.com for Scott, and I will hold them until we do the interview with him. Also, just on the heels of that, Mike Boyle will be on the show next week. You can, again, send questions to questions@thefitcast.com. Mike will be coming on to really answer any questions that you want to talk about. And also, he's going to come on to talk about his new website, strengthcoach.com. And also, he's got his own podcast, Strength Coach. I don't know if it's available on iTunes. I think it might only be for the members of strengthcoach.com. But make sure to check that out. And I know a lot of people have been talking about how it's like $67 a year, which I did the math, is 18 cents a day. And people are complaining about that. So just getting that podcast is going to be worth paying that entry fee for Mike's site, because I think I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing it every week. Long story short, Jimmy, I don't know, did you go shopping on Friday?
Did I do what on Friday?
Did you do any shopping, Black Friday shopping?
Yes, I did. I'm all about shopping on Black Friday, and I got bought myself a GPS, which I just
nice.
Needed to buy. And then I just bought my mother and my sister a Christmas present, and I'm on the roll in terms of buying Christmas presents, so we will see what happens.
Good deal. I actually, for the second year in a row, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and sat outside my local GameStop, and I got a Nintendo Wii. Long story, the guy who I'm going to be talking to later on the show, we just recorded a segment for it. His parents wanted a Wii because they thought it would be a great way to get some more activity in, so he convinced me to wait in line with him again. So he bought one, I bought one, and his sister got in line, and she bought another one with money I gave her, so I sold that on eBay, and it paid for my Wii. So I thought it'd be good to get another one, and hopefully I can test out. I'm going to see if I can get Nintendo. I doubt they will, but I'm going to see if I can get Nintendo PR to send me a copy of Wii Fit when that comes out, so I can review that for the show. I don't know if they'll do it, but I think it's something that's worth checking out, because I know a lot of a lot of parents, a lot of soccer moms, and a lot of video gamers are going to be flocking towards Wii Fit, thinking that they're going to get into shape. So I think it's worth at least taking a look at. Just keep a lookout for that. Also, got to thank Dave Fink for our new logo. If you haven't seen our new logo, well, actually you have. If you're listening to this, you've seen it in some form or another. But thank you, Dave. So it's a great new logo. I don't know, how's your logo going, Jimmy? Did you get something finalized?
I actually have two people working on two separate logos. And it's actually more than a logo. They just need a logo. I needed like a banner. I needed like a digital cover. Like, I need a lot of stuff because I have some stuff coming up that should be pretty exciting to the FitCast listeners. So, Dave actually is taking his time emailing me, but I'm really excited to work with him. He seems really thorough, and I have Mike as well, who's working with me. Mike McChesney, I think is how you pronounce his last name. So pretty happy working with both those guys. So they're both big FitCast listeners, and I'm excited to see what their final works will be.
Definitely, it's did a great job, Dave, and I really want to thank you again. But we will finish up the FitCast topics, and Jimmy, I just want to ask you, how's your Thanksgiving dinner for everyone who's outside of the United States? We just had Thanksgiving this past Thursday, and that's when the weight starts getting packed on. So, Jimmy, how did it go?
Oh, wait, good. I mean, I actually didn't eat a lot on Thanksgiving. I ate more like that afternoon. You know, usual stuff, right? The turkey, the various stuffings, sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, vegetables. You know, I just got back from a big dinner tonight too. So I'm just raring to go. I'm just eating up a storm.
Do you have a date tonight?
No, I didn't have a date tonight. I went out to eat with friends, and no one really wants to hear what I ate, but I'll tell it anyway. I fried macaroni and cheese, and I had a bacon cheeseburger. And I don't really care that's not the healthiest thing in the world, and I know at times I've preached why you need to eat good when you're trying to get bigger and how stupid it is just to eat to try to gain weight. But there's a time and a place for everything, and this is one of those times and places. So they just wanted to say that really quickly so I don't get hating emails from people.
Oh, no, they already sent them. They're listening live. They already sent them. So
cool.
Good luck with that. Well, that's going to wrap up FitCast topics. Let's jump into the mailbag. For the mailbag this week, we jump into our first question from Kevin. He asks, I'd love to hear what the panel thinks of the HCG diet. I'm a physical therapist, and I've been treating a patient who is post-op patella tendon repair 4 months ago. He's in his early 30s and built like an offensive lineman. He says he's 6'4 and over 360 pounds. That's a big guy. His rehab is progressing very well, by the way. Anyhow, he recently started the HCG diet as the suggestion of his naturopathic doctor, I think I have that right, who's apparently doing research on the diet. Well, in the first 2 weeks that he's been on the diet, he says, my patient has lost over 20 pounds and is ecstatic. I'm all from losing weight to reduce the strain on its knee. Besides his 2 to 3 treatments each week, mostly all exercise-based, he's also working out on his own, doing upper body work at the gym a couple times a week, so he's burning plenty of calories. What he's told me about the diet, I'm somewhat alarmed at the 500 calorie limit per day. I'll have to hear what the roundtable has to say about the diet. In case you'd like to know, the therapeutic exercises at each treatment take at least 45 minutes to go through, and we're working his lower body and core pretty hard. Could this present a problem with only a 500 calorie diet? So I just want to applaud myself for getting through that.
That's a long question.
Yeah, I didn't have many mistakes. So what you got for us, Jimmy?
Well, I'm not really going to talk a lot about the diet because I think it's absolutely stupid. First, we have to understand what HCG is. And what that is it's a substance that's produced in the placenta during pregnancy. Okay, in huge amounts. To me, an HCG diet, and I've looked up a lot on it, I'm not, you know, making an uneducated statement here because I try to always make educated statements. First, we have to look at the factors. The individual in question is, I don't know, 320 pounds. He's a former football player, so that right there, I'm just assuming he has some muscle mass on him, which, you know, is the most metabolically active structure we have. And he's finally decreasing calories for the first time. I mean, I think 500 calories is stupid, you know, because your body will shut down almost instantaneously. So he's decreasing calories. He's finally starting to work out again. Like, doesn't this seem like the normal recipe that we give people to lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, listen, I'm the first one to you know, talk about cortisol and adrenal fatigue and all that, those hormones. But at the same time, dude, we have to step back and we have to look at each individual case. Like I was talking about with me, how I'm eating. You know, I'm 6'6". Even if I try to eat lean, I'm going to gain maybe, what, 3 pounds, 4 pounds? I'm up to 251 pounds now. I look bigger than I've ever looked. Granted, it's not healthy eating bacon, cheeseburgers, and fried macaroni and cheese, and I don't eat like that every night. I was talking to Anthony Roberts the other day, and, you know, we were talking about how this is the time of the year for, you know, traditional bulk and cut, and as much as people say don't bulk, don't cut, you have to kind of look at it like from this perspective is I'm not eating like that all the time. You know, what I may let myself go is I may have a couple pieces of leftover Halloween candy after my workout. I may have 2 bowls of Captain Crunch. You know, if I want to have bread and pasta with dinner when I normally have chicken and, you know, brown rice or chicken and vegetables, I'm going to have that. The fact of the matter is we have to look at the individual. Someone like Kevin who's, you know, 5'8", you know, 180 pounds.
5'8"?
Well, dude, I don't know how old
5'8"?
You are, how tall you are, and with your posture, like, whatever.
Oh, my God, I'm like, I'm 6 feet, man.
You have to look at individual perspective. Dude, I don't care about not having abs half the time. Sure, it's nice and I want it, but at the same time, we have to look at individual cases. So get off that rant, back on the question. The guy's finally decreasing calories, which will hurt him later on because he has nothing that muscle tissue is pulling no nutrients in with 500 calories. And he's starting to work out. You know, he's someone who's 300 pounds, which is why you'll see on, you know, shows like The Biggest Loser. These guys drop weight 7, 8, 9 pounds in a week or 10 days, however it is, how long they weigh them, because they're finally starting to work out. And you have that much, you're going to be able to drop. And also, you know, being overweight, you'll have so much more ability. You'll be holding so much more water. You'll be able to drop so much weight. So do I think that diet's a cure-all? No. That's like saying put them on, you know, the HGH workout programs, like the German volume training, and have them do 10 sets of 10 on everything. I don't agree with the diet at all, and I just think it's another fad thing. And, you know, you'll get these natural paths, and some will be very, very, you know, keen with marketing. And I'm not going to hate on anybody for advancing themselves with marketing because, listen, you know, I'm doing everything I can to advance myself, and if someone else is taking a different path and does with marketing, the bank's not giving them more money, not giving me more money for reading more training books and giving them less money for reading more marketing books. The fact of the matter is that's what gets paid. So, you know, yeah, it's a marketing thing, but I don't really think it's a smart diet at all, to be honest. I think if you take somebody and how many fruits and vegetables are they eating, put that in their diet, put lean proteins in their diet, put healthy fats in their diet, you know, just decrease calories in anybody and they'll lose weight initially. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some great cases, and I'm sure there's some research, but I mean, just because research proves it, I don't care. I mean, Alan Cosgrove had a fantastic blog post, I think either a week or two ago, where he talks about filtering information, you know, and that's, we live in too much of a high information, and look, I'm the first one that falls in that trap. I have virtually every training book that's on, you know, any website that people ever talk about. I'm the king of high information, and it was Scott Abel. I always pronounce his last name wrong.
Is it Abel or Abel? It's Abel.
It's Abel. It's Abel.
Damn it!
It's Scott Abel who's the one who told me go on a low information diet, and I've been better off. My clients have had better results because I'm worried about antagonistic pairing here and joint capsules here and you know a proper range for hypertrophy, dude. Just train hard. Just diet right. I know that seems like a scapegoat answer, but to sum up that long-winded answer, there it is for me.
Well, I mean, the one thing, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a professional. I'm not an expert.
And make sure you say that. Not an expert. Because there's certain losers that get mad when you say you're an expert.
I know. I apologize. But the one thing that stands out for me, if this guy is 360 pounds, I mean, he could be eating 2,500 calories a day, and he's still going to lose a ton of weight. I mean, 360 pounds, the body is just gonna drop weight. Like,
yeah.
I mean, unless you give it a reason to hang on to it, and I mean, if you're talking about, what did he say, 30 pounds in 2 weeks? Like, I mean, or I'm sorry, 20 pounds in 2 weeks. I mean, that seems about right for a guy who's 360 pounds and has got that much weight to lose. But I don't see why you couldn't even get something close to that results with doing what you said, just getting in your lean proteins, getting in your fruits, and you're getting in your vegetables. Like, even just doing a low-carb diet, that might be all that he really needs. It's just, it sounds kind of awkward the way I read it, because it said that the doctor who's doing research on the diet is just using this guy as like a guinea pig to see what happens.
Yeah, dude, I don't really care about research that much. I mean, I read a lot of it. I read a new research study every day. I get, you know, 15 Google alerts. I get PubCrawler. I get PubMed sends you stuff. Like, I get a ton of stuff, but, like, dude, it's research. You know, it has a place.
All right, we'll jump into the next question, and it comes from our good friend J.C. Cleary. Hope all is well with you. I have a question on fish oil. I'm sold on its benefits, but I wanted to know how important or unimportant it is to ingest it in pill form. Is this the optimal intake method, or can you just take liquid fish oil and get the same benefits? As always, thanks for the info, and keep up the great work. I don't use liquid fish oil because I'm afraid of the taste of it. I use capsules, but Jimmy, is there a benefit to using either or?
Yeah, the only benefit that there really is of if using the oil is that you can get more. And there's certain times, and I know if we take too much omega-3 or omega-6 and 9 decreases, and we don't necessarily want that.
No.
You know, I know what that deal is. But at the same time, like, I think what you have to look at is that if we go with oil where we can take more in, it's more cost effective. You know, even if, you know, if you're telling someone to take 10 grams, you know, and the brand I take, and I'm talking combined DHA and EPA, the brand I take is the Now brand, and that's 1 gram per pill, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to, like, I don't have a problem choking down, you know, 12 caps. But I know some coaches recommend 20 grams, and whether you agree with them or not, that's what they're recommending. That's what they're getting results. And it's kind of hard to take, you know, 20 pills or remember to take 20 pills. That's the only real difference I can see is that if you're going to take a high dosage, then go with the oil. I mean, pills are just more convenient. They're really not that expensive. Like, I get 180 for like $7. So.
That's a good point. Hopefully that will clear things up for you, JC. And also, that's typically the brand you go with, Jimmy. You go with the Now brand.
Yeah.
Stuff is always cheap, which is good.
Well, the stuff is cost. It has a cost margin. It's not cheap.
That's what
I mean. But it has a GMP stamp, which, you know, in the supplement industry is going to like kind of like the highest standard since it's not FDA approved. That stands for good manufacturing and processes. Like, I know you'll find healthcare practitioners that'll tell you have to go with like Designs for Health. Metagenics, Simon, and places like that that only sells doctors. And like for all my adrenal stuff, you know, I go with them. For my zinc and magnesium, I go with them because like I've tried zinc and magnesium from various companies and not one. I haven't tried Biotest brands. So I don't want to speak for Biotest, but Biotest is probably the only brand I haven't tried of ZMA, and I'll give that a try. But, you know, a lot of times I've taken zinc tally tests, you know, when I've been taking, you know, 30 milligrams of zinc 3-4 times a day, and I still failed it. You know, so that means I wasn't absorbing my zinc. So, supplement-wise, yeah, that's what I generally go with.
And what was that, you said it had like a special label on it or a special logo on it?
GMP, good manufacturing and processes. That just lets it know that it was manufactured. What's in there says is what's in there.
Okay. Good deal. All right, next question comes from Chris. I train at a good facility that has trainers who seem to know their stuff. Their clients all seem to be getting stronger and more fit. However, members that don't pay for personal training seem to be getting worse and worse. I feel that just because people are paying for personal training that they shouldn't be left to rot, quote, rot on the cardio machines. This gym carries an expensive monthly fee. I mean, what gym doesn't? I included that, sorry. And I just feel bad for the people who aren't being helped. Sometimes I try to help the people who aren't getting personal training sessions, but do pay for the facility. I'm sorry. I read the wrong. Let me reread that. Is it fair to dismiss the people who aren't doing personal training sessions, but do pay for using the facility? And I think this is I mean, I don't know if this is really up for debate because you have to pay the personal trainers at some point. If, I mean, Jimmy, I know you've gone to commercial gyms before. How much you pay for a month? Like $60 a month?
What, me?
Yeah.
I pay 35 to work in a brand new LA Fitness in Stanford, Connecticut, where I live. It's good. We have bells up to 125, dumbbells up to 125. We have four pairs of everything. No power rack, but we have two squat racks. I mean, there's like three Smith machines. I don't use a Smith machine, but it's just an example. It's three floors. It has a pool, so I get a really good deal, and it's like 150 down initially. You pay the first and last months. I know like all the New York sports clubs in the area that have the exact same thing, or smaller, like charge like 65, 70, $80 a month, and people pay that. But I'm happy where I am. I was paying $10 a month before. You know, the place I worked at, which is a dingy dungeon-like atmosphere that I worked at for years that I absolutely adored, but that place has recently closed down. But back to the question, I agree with them, and I disagree with them. The thing is this: it's like, yes, you have to pay the trainers, and the whole problem with the personal training industry is that the personal training industry absolutely sucks at business. Absolutely sucks. Because you know, you have some great guys, like everything Alan Cosgrove writes about business is absolutely fantastic. People obviously know Ryan Lee, you know, stuff like that. But most training places will know about those people, or don't, or know very little of them. So their whole marketing ploy is that coming for a free session. That completely devalues it. First of all, you tell somebody you're a personal trainer, they already have in their mind what they think you are and what they think you know. You know, so if I tell someone I'm a personal trainer and the person across the street does, who the hell are they going to believe? You know, like they're just going to say, oh, well, that's nice, you're both trainers. They don't know that I'm up till 3 a.m. reading stuff, or that, you know, I'm paying to consult with top coaches and top physical therapists and stuff like that out of my money. And I mean, I don't make a lot of money, you know, right now at least. So the whole point is that it's completely stupid to say, oh, here's a free session. At the same time, the trainers have to have their price valued. So when you look at it, yeah, lawyers give free consultation, doctors give free consultations, but people sense a need to go to a doctor. You know, that the free consultation is not used as much by doctors and lawyers to pull people in as it is used by personal trainers. That's used by personal trainers to get them in front so they can beat up the client, and the client can say, wow, I need you as a trainer. That's not the way with other officials. But again, going back to the question is this. I don't think people should be let to run away, but you do have to pay the trainers. You know, if these trainers are as good as they make them out to be, you know, people are seeing results and people are getting stronger and people are healthy, well, then that's noticeable. Because even if it's a public gym where people come and go at random times of the day, people are going to talk. People are going to have relationships. People will know who's a good trainer there. So that'll get around. But at the same time, like, people don't want information. You know, you can't confuse people with facts. You know, when people first started, you know, here, and I was a trainer, like, they didn't see me in any of the magazines I write in now or any of that. And at that time, I wasn't. People would ask me questions sometimes, you know, and like, I'd give somebody an answer like, oh, you don't want to do steady state cardio because, you know, I mean, now I'm talking to like a 40-year-old who works behind a desk, right? And who just needs to stop eating sugar. So I'm telling them why they shouldn't do steady state cardio. They don't want to listen to that.
Exactly.
You know? So the next day they come in and they're on the treadmill for 40 minutes. You know, the other night I was at a bar and somebody, a guy there asked me who I had known. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, you do personal training. And I completely deflected the question because I hate that question, but that's a personal issue. I deflected into more of like the therapy role that I'm in a lot during the day. And the guy was asking me about his knee. Now, sure, I could have went into, oh, maybe your medius isn't firing and your hip position. No, I said, dude, stretch your quad. Because honestly, 99% of the knee injuries I see, you know, and this is just me talking to someone in a bar, or it's pure tightness of quad. So my whole point is you cannot confuse people with facts. So if these trainers are that good at this guy's gym and they went up to someone and they said, okay, you know, you're doing pull downs, maybe you should do pull ups because pull ups are biomechanically different and, you know, they work your back a lot better. People, maybe one out of 20 people would say yes and even take them up on that. You know, like if you get maybe like a 17-year-old kid that wants bigger biceps and you're like, yeah, do weighted chin ups, they might do it. But for 99% of the people, they're not going to listen to these trainers. The reason they don't have a trainer for a reason, because either A, think they can't afford it, depending on some, like I think my gym charges like $10 for training sessions, so the trainers are always busy. Or
how do you make money getting paid $10 for a session?
What's that?
How do the trainers there make money?
Dude, I don't know. I just know like the trainers don't get a lot at the gym that I work at. Work out at. Don't work there. Work out at.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, there are a lot of guys who think they don't need a trainer. You know, they pick up, you know, the magazines every month and do that stuff. They think training is too expensive, or they just think they don't need it. So you're not going to go up to someone and convince someone who already doesn't think they need training that they need to train with you. And a lot of times you have to look at turnovers in gyms. I used to work at a New York sports club, and when I started there, every month a new trainer came in. So how's someone going to want to train with me? You have the old guys there who, you know, are still making the same money they made 10 years ago, talking crap about new guys working there, mm-hmm. you know, not letting them get a step up. So, I mean, does that answer the question? Did I just go up on a rant too much?
No, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, at some point you have to, if you want to get a free personal trainer, that personal trainer is going to suck.
Sure. I mean, and if you want free stuff now, go online. Like, I mean, you know, people, everybody knows online, you know, you look at the top terms, you know, burn fat or you know, get abs are top terms. People go online, people read that information. It's what people choose to do with the information that they read, you know, is out there. But to say people, it's not fair for people to wallow away, that's really not accurate to say, because unfortunately, you know, people won't take the information. You know, you could be, you know, like I write for you know, I've had stuff in Men's Fitness, I've had stuff on T Nation, which are kind of, you know, two of the bigger places, you know, and I write for a couple of magazines, places like that. But, you know, no one gives a damn about that in the gym. You know, nobody cares about that. They'll watch the trainers that work there train people, and they'll do what they've read in a magazine. They won't really give a damn. So it's like, you can try to help people what you want, because I tried to go that route, dude. I tried to help people and give people, like, unsolicited advice when I worked at gyms. Partially was to pick up clients, but partially was to help people. People don't want to listen.
Well, that's something that Adam and I are going to talk about at the end of the show in a segment we recorded earlier, is that we went to a seminar at an Equinox gym, and the seminar was for the trainers at the Equinox gym. They just, some outside people came as well. And they clearly did not read T-Nation, because the seminar, Mike mainly talked about two articles that he wrote for T-Nation, 25 things, or 25 things I've learned in 25 years, and also 10 new things I've learned. And it was like he was reading the gospel. And it was all like revelations to them. Like we're talking about, like he brought out two tennis balls taped together, and it was like a revelation, thoracic extensions. Yeah. And it's amazing that like they haven't like checked these things out. I think it's a huge testament that whoever's running the place actually went out of their way and they brought Mike in.
Well, Mike speaks there every year, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. Equinox does that. I know the Equinox in Darien, Connecticut, the town next to where I live, they do a lot of seminars with like local like chiropractors and doctors there. So mm-hmm. Equinox is actually one of the better public gyms in terms of education. You know, so I mean, the one New York sports club down here, the guy was telling people that, you know, 4,000 calories to a pound. Like, regardless of what you think of that whole thing, like, dude, get your math right. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we ranted on that long enough. Let's wrap up the mailbag and let's jump into the roundtable. All right, for our mailbag this week, the discussion is going to be about what's on our holiday wish list fitness-wise. So, I mean, it's just kind of going through what we're looking for. Hopefully, our family and friends might be picking out for us. I know there's some things I said to sent it to Santa Claus for him to pick up for me. Hopefully, he has access to the internet and he can do that. So, Jimmy, do you want me to start off, or do you want to start off?
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, first off, something that instantly I want to pick up is from actually the interview that we did last week with Scott Abell. I think I got that right.
You got that right.
One thing immediately I want to pick up is his cycle diet DVD.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I think Jimmy was talking to me a little bit about it, and I just think it's something that needs to be picked up, and hopefully it's something I can start applying. Like, really, I got to start beefing up my library. I literally have 6 months of school left, and now then it's off to hopefully an internship at Mr. Boyle's place. I'm applying for internship there, so hopefully be working there this summer, and then just on another thing that I'm looking forward to getting, something we mentioned in the show earlier, since I didn't get to see it last week, Mike's Advanced Pro Am Design DVD because it's cheap. You can pick it up pretty cheap now, and it's the same price as going to a seminar. It's cheaper than that, so I don't see why you wouldn't pick it up if you're interested at all in it. So that's what I'm gonna do, is pick that up, and that's pretty much it for me. And also, I'm on my wish list is a new microphone for the podcast, which is a $110 microphone, and I'm gonna send my $90 headset to Jimmy. So he sounds
nice.
He sounds good. He sounds like I don't know who's a good radio host, like
Casey Kasem
or Dick Clark.
Dick Clark wasn't really radio, dude.
Oh, fine. You'd be Casey Kasem, counting him down.
No,
he was on Saved by the Bell. All right. So what do you got, Jimmy?
Fitness wise, there's actually nothing that I want. It's to the point that like people in my family will say, we'll let you buy your own fitness stuff. Like if it's a Christmas present, like I'll buy it and they'll pay for it because they obviously aren't gonna know what I want fitness related.
Yeah.
So there's actually nothing fitness related on my list because when I see a fitness product I like, either the author either sends it to me or I purchase it, one of the two. So in terms of products, the only one I still don't have that I really want is Mike Boyle's Functional Strength Coach 1. And I have his Functional Strength Coach 2. I have his Advanced Program Design. And I'm sure there's a lot of overlapping stuff in Functional Strength Coach 1 that there is in 2. And I know version 1 was released. It's got to be close to maybe 3 years now. And some of the stuff can be outdated and the Mike stuff changes. But I'm pretty sure there's a couple gems in there that he didn't cover other places. So, that'd be a pretty cool thing. And other than that, fitness-wise, there's really nothing else I want. I have a tendency of going out and buying it fitness-related. There's a ton of products I wish I can get back that I bought. But the fitness-wise, there's really, really nothing. I just got Paul Check's book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. I talked to Paul for an audio project, and I was really a big fan of a lot of stuff he had to say. I went and picked up his book because I had not read it before. I had read some of the other stuff before. So I have that, currently reading that. But fitness-wise, no. I have virtually every book. And I'm not saying I know it all or anything like that. And I generally will buy any fitness product that comes out, regardless of what I think, about the person who wrote it or about the material, just because I want to stay on top of the game. But that's it. Fitness-related-wise, that's really it for me.
You do, and if anyone out there, just shoot me an email and send me what's on your wish list, fitness-wise, and we'll read a couple of them off on the show next week, or I'll do it in the post show of next week. But I don't think our live show worked because I'm getting messages from people through Skype saying all they hear is people asking if there's guys or girls in the conference call, so I don't think it worked. But
oh, wow, good job, Kev.
But it's trial and error, and
it's trial and error. And I first of all, I think you need to take a step back and just look how far this podcast has come. I know you kind of do it by the seat of your pants sometimes, and you're so dedicated to it, you don't take a stop and smell the roses approach. But you're talking about doing live shows now. Like the show's come pretty far. In just a short time you've done it, so I think you have to be committed for that. And we eventually pull off a live show.
Yeah. Jimmy, stay on the line for a second. We'll wrap up the show and then...
Sure.
Then I'm going to see if we can get this to work, if you don't mind spending 5 minutes with me. All right, just got to quickly thank our sponsors. First off, Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also, from BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% by using the code FIT10, that's FIT10. Throw that in the comments section at checkout and save 10%. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Don't forget to check out Mike's blog, and if you're looking to pick up some things for yourself this upcoming holiday, don't forget he's got bulletproof knees, inside out, magnificent mobility. That's a great set of products that you can pick up for yourself or for your loved ones, so make sure to check out our sponsors. So I think we're gonna wrap up this week's show, and Jimmy, I know you mentioned earlier in the show that you're right now in a bulk. So how long is this going to go for?
This goes to January 3rd. Why I say January 3rd is because I like to go out on January 1 or on December 31st and have a really good time. So it takes about a couple days to recover. That's honestly got truth, dude. I'm not gonna front.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So it'll be till January 3rd. I weighed 251 today. The goal is to be 260 at 6'6", and I'm really not that fat. I'd probably say I'm about 13% body fat now, and that was from about 8%. So like I have a stomach. Yeah, like I'm seeing a girl now. I won't let her poke me like around my waist. I swear to God, dude, I won't. And that's how I am. And if you think I'm a weird, I don't really give a damn what you think.
So you're not the Charmin or what's the
no,
teddy
I'm not the dope.
Does.
I'm not like that.
Cuddles from the dryer sheets commercial. No one knows that. Right?
Yeah. So it's like you know, it is what it is, dude. Like, I don't really give a damn. So,
is there anything you would have changed so far that since you started?
Anything I would have changed? No. Like, I'm still doing the basic movements. Like, I'm deadlifting, I'm squatting.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow I have a lower body day. I'm deadlifting, I'm squatting, I'm doing all that stuff. You know, I'm doing pull-ups and all that. There's really nothing I would change, you know. I haven't used my fat grips because I have a pair of fat grips.
Like Link grips?
No, like they're called Tyler grips. Even though Tim unsubscribed to my newsletter, I will give him a plug. I know Tim. We email pretty frequently, so that's why I'm going to get on him. But yeah, it's just grips that they go around the dumbbell, and they make it about like 3-4 inches thicker, which is pretty cool.
Oh,
and
wow.
It did a lot my forearm and arm development. It really kind of accelerated it. But no, that's all I would have done is probably use those grips more. Because I used them when I wasn't eating this much, and there's a reason why I stayed away from it, because I was all about, actually, just physically training. I wanted to use a heavy load as possible. When you use grips, you can't, and you should use grip work, but, time and a place for everything, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little spiel right there about that.
All right, good. I just thought we should give people a little extra content after we mentioned the sponsors to make sure they're still listening. So I think we'll wrap it up for this week's show. I really hope that we have all the live issues figured out for next week, and I will keep everyone in contact about what we decide to do with that. So for episode number 74, I'm Kevin Larby.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we're going to get out of here. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Subscribe through iTunes. And you know what? Be nice to Jimmy. Check out his blog, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. We'll see you next week. On the line with me right now is Adam Carlson Wallace. He is a kinesiology major at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And we actually took a trip to New York last weekend to see a seminar with Mike Boyle at one of the Equinox gyms on 5th and 47th or 43rd. I can't remember which one. It was one or the other. But I'm trying to deliver what I promised. We did record something on the way back, on the drive back after we got off the train coming back from New York, but the audio turned out to be absolutely horrible, so we're going to re-record this right now, and hopefully some of our live listeners are listening and the FitCast insiders are listening live, and they will hear any mistakes that we make. So we're going to try to do our best with this, and hopefully we don't screw things up too much. So Adam, first off, I got to welcome you to the show. Obviously, you're a student, as am I, so it's going to be fun talking about this to a fellow student and not just being talking to professionals.
Yeah, you can actually talk down to me.
Yeah, I can. No one's going to be pushing me around this segment, I'll tell you that much. But I'm sure you have some dirt on me that you could bring out, so I'll watch what I say. But let's first talk about the seminar, because Adam, I know you've been itching to get to seminars in the past, and this is actually your very first seminar that you've been to. First off, I just want to get your impressions of the whole experience as, I mean, really as a whole.
I liked it as a whole. It was kind of misleading, I guess, in a sense. It was entitled to us as customers to the seminar, as concepts and program design.
Yeah, I think Equinox just messed that up because
Yeah, I think
what
they did because it turned out more to seem more of a Equinox personal trainer's training session. Obviously they have required amount of study time as it may. This kind of qualifies that because it was very direct for personal trainers, which was it was a lot of great information, but it there certainly wasn't in terms of building a program for a client. It was more of how to like general knowledge and how to be a good personal trainer.
So you think you got $200 or $120 worth out of it? I mean, you must
No.
have seen a lot of things, especially in the practical stuff, things that you probably haven't seen before.
There's a lot of things I hadn't seen before, and I really, really enjoyed the hands-on learning stuff. I mean, the first half, excuse me, the first half of the presentation was how to be successful as a personal trainer in terms of like business etiquette. Obviously, I'm not quite at that stage yet. Granted, I can take the information with me after college, but for right now, it wasn't useful for me right now. But I can certainly hold on to that and work off of it. It was definitely very effective for the personal trainers that were there. So that it was interesting just to kind of get an insight in the a little bit insight on the biz. Especially he also went in depth on what he's doing at his facilities, which is really interesting. Especially because he's taking a different approach to it than your average weekend warrior kind of training. So. It was pretty cool, as far as I was concerned, yeah.
I think I mean, we've talked a lot on the show about commercial gyms, and I have quite a disdain for them. I really don't like them. I'm a much bigger fan of facilities like what Mike's doing and what Eric Cressy is doing now. Just I a lot of it is professionalism because you go into these gyms and you see trainers like literally screwing around with their clients, dressed inappropriately. One example that Mike gave was women who are wearing sports bras and shorts that are too short. In turn, they're distracting their clients and other members of the facility. So things like that he brought up, both professionalism. He also mentioned a couple people and a couple books that are worth checking out in the presentation. I really don't want to give too much of the presentation away because that would kind of defeat the purpose of everyone else going out there and checking it out. But just an example of one of the books was called Goals by Brian Tracy, and just books like that. And I think I mean something that we've mentioned on the show in the past, How to Win Friends and Influence People, is another book you should check out. You can actually get I got the audiobook at audible.com, and if you are someone that's working with people for a majority of your time at your job or in your life, I mean that's a book that you gotta pick up and read. It'll just help you so much with communicating with people and just being a much more likable person. In turn, if someone likes you as a trainer, you're gonna make more money, which I think that's what this is all about. Unless you want to do this for free.
I don't.
Yeah. We're here to be trainers for the big money. You know, trainers make so much money, right? Not
Well, with
really.
whey protein going all the way up in price, we need to make more money.
Yeah, that too. I guess the price, we did have Carl Valley on a past show. They said like the prices wouldn't really go up too much, but I could tell on the Optimum Nutrition whey protein, the price went up like $5 for their 5-pound tub. So people are definitely feeling that. Let's see. And next in Mike's seminar presentation, he went over like about half of his 25 Mistakes in 25 Years article, which you can check out at tnation.com. I'll throw a link for it up in the show notes. If you haven't read this article, if you don't read Mike's articles on T-Nation, like whatsoever, you're really wasting your time even listening to this show. You should pause right now, go to T-Nation, and start reading those articles, because these are just great. I mean, Mike has so much experience. Like, a guy who's been in the business for 25 years, I mean, you really can't put a value on that. He's just... I mean, one thing that people said is, or people say is like a saying that he's probably forgotten more than you even know. So it's really cool to talk to a guy and really get to pick the brain of a guy who's been in the business for so long and doing so much. But if you read the article, you kind of know where this went. The real benefit of this discussion was from the questions that came from the audience, because clearly the trainers at the Equinox, not to really bash them, but they clearly seem to not be doing their reading outside of the gym. They don't seem to read T-Nation or even things like they're probably going to muscle and fitness for their information or oxygen.
Flex.
What?
They go to Flex.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and but that's really just something as simple as just reading things at T-Nation and through other reputable article sites, even checking things out at bodybuilding.com. I mean, it's just getting ideas for things from articles is great, just helping you pick one or two things you can always carry on with your clients. But like I said, if you've read the article, you kind of knew where that's going, so I'm going to advise you to just check that out. And then he also went over another article called 10 New Things You Should Know, which, again, was up on tnation.com. But everything that we did from this article, this was all hands-on stuff. So it was really like it was like a live-action presentation, because we talked about things like planks and doing things like what do you call it? Linkage exercise. Oh wait, you got a call. This is Jimmy Smith on the line. So, Adam, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the 10 new things you should know, or 10 big things you should know.
All right. So sorry, I just edited out a part where Jimmy called in, and Jimmy's going to be on in about 15 minutes. So. We're going to keep going on talking about the seminar. So, again, if you've read the article, 10 New Things You Should Know, I mean, this is kind of repeat stuff. But we do have some news that hasn't really been released into the public yet. We do have the lineup for the winter seminar that will be held at Winchester, Massachusetts. And Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. I actually went to it last year, and it was great. The place was packed with like 120 people. But for those who are interested, here is the lineup. It's going to be Eric Cressy, Brijesh Patel from Holy Cross, who was there last year, who had my favorite presentation from the seminar. I'm hoping he's going to do something on speed and not the drug. John Paloff, who did a presentation about overhead throwing athletes last year. Hopefully he's going to come back and talk a little bit more about overhead throwing athletes. Mike Boyle, and then Anthony Slater from Athletes Performance. So pretty solid lineup. I mean, I couldn't really be happier with that lineup. And for 100, I think it's going to be like 100 or 150 bucks. You really can't go wrong, and hopefully our guys from good friends at Black Star Labs are going to be sponsoring again this year. We'll get some more free site views.
Oh, nice.
Adam, I know you're an average.
I love
site
views.
And
I love it.
He doesn't even get it for free. This kid buys it. So.
Yeah, the raspberry lemonade tastes like summertime.
It tastes like summertime. All right, I will pass that on, and hopefully they'll use that as a slogan. And last but not least, about the seminar, Mike quickly mentioned about strengthcoach.com, and Mike's actually going to be on the show next weekend to talk about what strengthcoach.com is all about, also about his new podcast, which people should be looking out for. I don't know if it's on iTunes yet. I think it might only be available for the people who join strengthcoach.com. So, Adam, before we wrap this up, is there anything you want to add to it, anything that you really got out of the seminar that you think people should know about?
I'm learning this stuff. One of the things I learned, which made complete sense, I feel like a complete idiot for not really taking charge of learning the stuff, stretching, how important stretching and kind of like massage tissue work, everything from foam rolling showed us that exercise for the lumbar spine with the tennis balls and stuff. And
you mean thoracic?
Oh yeah, you're right, thoracic might be, and you know, that kind of stuff. You know, he got the big giant basketball player guys to get up on the bench who had knee pain, and all he did was massage their glute medius.
I was surprised at how bad a shape all the trainers were in. Like, not visually, but physically, they're all incredibly tight.
Yeah, they all complained about something or another, so, which isn't good, because then, you know, whatever's leading to that pain, they're transferring over to their clients potentially.
Yeah, I mean, they don't. Obviously, if they don't know how to fix it and their client has it, they're not going to know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it goes back to the whole not reading enough. I mean, me going to this seminar helps me prepare for being a trainer, but they're already there. So, I mean, you should know everything about anything, especially if you're getting paid. I'm not even getting paid, and I want to learn it. So, it should be more motivation to pick up a book, read an article. So, yeah, but apart from that, just a bunch of just odd exercises that I learned. And he really emphasized, you know, maintaining lumbar stability but not mobility. Kind of went in depth on.
Well, something you should really check out, Adam, and I'll send you the link for it, is his article, Joint by Joint Approach. And also, the FitCast insiders know that we did a interview with Mike Robertson all about that article that people should check out. And it really just goes in order from the joints, and just talks about where you're going to need mobility and where you're going to need stability. So it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're so excited about it.
I'm psyched.
All right. Well, I guess some of that is worn off since it's been about a week. So what we're going to do now is we're going to wrap up this segment. Hopefully some people were actually listening into this and heard it live. For everyone else who's listening to this during the week, I think we're going to wrap up the show. Or maybe we already did, and this is just extra. I'll put this at the end of the music so people can listen to it. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Adam Carlson Willis.
And Adam, you're going to get a shorter name. Just chop.
Adam KW. How's that?
How about Adam Willis?
Well, you're forsaking my family, Kev. I'll take it. Adam Willis.
But what's the story behind that? Is that your mom's last name and your dad's last name?
No, it's not like a feminazi kind of thing, and I apologize if there's any feminazis out there. it's my grandmother, my great-grandmother. Her last name's Carlson, and when she passes, her last name would be carried on. It's a very important part of our family. It's my great-great-great-grandfather came over from Sweden. Anywho, her last name, Carlson, wouldn't be carried on throughout our family lineage, so my dad added it to his name, which was Willis at the time when he was 18, so we kept the family name in the family.
Oh, good times. All right. Well, have fun writing your name on transcripts for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it just fits in bubble sheets, you know, like on test, Scantron test.
Scantrons, yeah.
Just fits by one letter.
That's good. All right, we're going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed our show, and hope you didn't mind us rambling on for a little bit. And for everyone who's still listening, Jimmy should be here any minute, so we will continue on with the show. So come back. I will send an email when Jimmy is back on. Thanks, everyone.